things in Tallahassee?
Things are really good. All the power's back on, and I think what I honestly I think the power, I don't know, this is me. I think the power was deliberately shut off by the city at like 9 and deliberately turned back on at like 11. It was like at 9 o'clock, all the power went out, and like 11 o'clock, all the power came back on. And I think it was because they thought if the power was out, if lines went down that were live, people wouldn't touch them, step on, roll over them, that kind of thing. And then I think by 11, when they felt like everything was pretty safe, they just turned it back on. But I don't know that to be true.
My only suspicion about that theory is that sounds way too logical and thoughtful for the power company.
It does. It does. But you, but yeah, that's true. Probably. Probably.
We can hear you. We can hear you fine right now. So, yeah. And we can get started. We have people kind of coming in and out. Just it's scheduling with back to classes and things.
Yeah, okay, good. I can they we, I know we're the recording has started. I can do a time stamp. It's August 30th, 2023. It is 2 o'clock Central Standard Time or thereabout. This is collective bargaining with the United University of West Florida, United Faculty of Florida chapter, and the University of West Florida Board of Trustees. And I'm Michael Matamor, and we're going to go through introductions.
Dan
Matt,
Lucas.
next.
This is
I said
Matt
Dan
Schwartz.
Lucas. I'm sorry.
Michael Wyatt.
Jamie Sprague.
Jessica Whittle.
That was Jessica. Dan, were you going to go or?
Dan Lucas.
Okay, John Fink.
All right, I think that's everyone from the Board of Trustee bargaining team. So, Jonathan, yeah.
Yes, Dean DeBolt and Jamin Wells is here observing.
Okay, great. All right, well, if you don't mind, I'll just kind of jump in. We were pretty close last time. We had, I guess we had maybe severability, preamble, definitions, grievance, payroll deduction. And Article 9 open. I've received signed versions of de definitions 34, grievance 22, payroll 28, and an MOU on preamble and severability. I will co-sign those tomorrow and send them to you, Jonathan. We accept all of those, agree with all of those. I just did not have access to my office today. So I was going to sign them and send them back today, but, I'm bereft, so or whatever I am, without an office, without a TV screen. So that leaves us to Article 9, and so maybe maybe I wasn't very clear last time, but what we wanted to do is to have the parties accept our Article 9, and then what we would do is move forward with the understanding that we're going to continue to consider and work on Article 9, which may include an additional promotional step for instructors and lecturers, and that we would take that up right away, and that it would not count as one of the reopeners against either party for the purposes of reopeners available under the duration clause, and that with that, we would also agree to retroactive pay to September 3rd on the 2.9% wage increase so that everyone would get a retroactive pay action in addition to all the wage article pieces that we have already TA'd. We have an MOU that we think effectuates that, and we wanted to let you look at that today and think about that. Michael, do you want to show the MOU and go through it for Jonathan?
Sure. I think Jessica has a link. I think she's uploading it now. But let me see if I can pull it up.
I have that up.
Yeah, it's in the shared drive.
Okay, great. All right, let me see if I can share my screen. I'm like the host, so I should be able to, but. Okay. Okay, so yeah, it's basically what Mike had just said. So we would retro the 2.9% to September 3rd. Basically, today is the Jamie can tell me the actual deadline, but I think functionally today is the last day that we could get this on our September board agenda, and which is going to be after September 3rd anyway. So we would retro the 2.9 to September 3rd. And automatically reopen Article 9, and it wouldn't count against either party. So that's, we just have some whereas stuff that explains the background, and then we have 1, 2, 3 that are the actual clauses, and it's the 2.9% that's effective September 3rd, automatically reopening Article 9, and then explaining that those are the only changes that we're making to the tentative agreements for the other articles. So the MOU doesn't affect anything else that we've already tentatively agreed to.
Okay. No, yeah. I mean, this is all clear to me. This is with the assumption that the board is going to ratify on September 14th, right? For some reason, if they were to go beyond, say the November session or something were to come up where they couldn't ratify, those other rates is, the understanding is that those would be retroactive to their effective dates as well.
No, Jonathan, that is not correct.
Okay. Well, I think we're
not anticipating that it would go past the September meeting, but I guess we're
confident that we can make that September board meeting. And we're also confident that we're going to get ratification. So we think everything will be able to go in place on time.
Okay. We understand the proposal and understand the sort of the thought behind it. We have a proposal. I don't think we're very far, away on this at all. I think we're all working diligently to try and get this resolved. I think we all want to move forward in ratification. We have one more additional proposal about this to kind of consider, and it's very much in the same spirit, but has a little bit of a different element to it. Unless my team had other questions or there's other things, Mike, that your team wanted to clarify, I can go ahead and share those items.
That would be great. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to send these to Jessica. Okay, I just sent those to Jessica. It's really very similar. We're agreeing to, following the discussion at our last session, we're agreeing to the university's language about the multi-year contracts, phasing those out, the $1,000 payment, those sort of things, that we're also simultaneously and we have an MOU that states essentially the same thing about the retroactive back to the effective dates of the wage actions. It's just more inclusive in case it were to somehow go beyond into November. It would address those other wage increases to their effective dates in the CBA. So hypothetically, if something unforeseen were to come up, it would just say those would be retroactive to those effective dates. And then we have one more element that we're proposing. We can sort of explain the rationale for that. You all have heard our position. I think we fully understand the positions on the multi-year contracts. What we're proposing instead is that right now, those affected faculty members, there's approximately 87 of them out of our a little bit over 300 in-unit faculty who have or who are involved in the multi-year contract structure right now. So what we're proposing, rather than addressing the multi-year contract structure in the way that we did in our previous proposals, is instead we're advocating to allocate some funds to assist them with professional development. These are non-recurring funds for professional development. These faculty do not have the type of funds or resources in our current system that tenure line faculty do. The way that most of our tenure line faculty professional development works is we submit applications for conferences, research presentations, and those are funded through primarily our RAC travel funds. Matt, you remember that from when you were chair, about how RAC travel gets funded and those things. But our non-tenure faculty, they are you know, at the back of the line on those funds. They rarely get funded in those elements. So we're advocating non-recurring funds of $200,000 in total over 3 years to address, to provide opportunities to assist those faculty in professional development. We're also proposing an advisory committee of those faculty to the university. These are not items that would have to be brought back into bargaining. It would be $200,000, and this committee would advise the university about, you know, ways in which to best support this group of faculty with these professional development funds. It's not something that we would have to bring back into bargaining to negotiate. We've also made it clear in the MOU that it would, over those 3 years. So there's no confusion that it's not $200,000 per year, but it's $200,000 for the whole 3 years. The provost at the faculty forum said the university just received $12 million in non-recurring funds. And that combined with our carry forward balances, we think this is an immensely feasible amount of money and can be used to help further their positions in professional development. The only other element is that we're proposing that one-time $1,000 and the other elements about phasing out that program, putting that into an MOU and directly striking the language in Article 9, because we don't want to have to come back into Article 9 and restrike that language if this program's phasing out. So that's why we've placed all that in the MOU. That's a summary of them. I can bring them up and go answer any questions kind of line by line if you want to. But it's really very, I think, straightforward, and I think we're very close to trying to get these elements resolved.
I do not have any questions about what you proposed. I think if I can summarize it, you would have all of the wage increases that we agree to with effective dates be retroactive if ratification exists after the date of those increases.
And that's retroactive only to their effective date as negotiated in Article 25. It's not we're not proposing to change the effective date of this, because some don't go out till November. The merit one goes out 2 weeks after the 2.9% cost of living. It would just be to make sure that those go back to those dates if for some reason ratification didn't take place. And we're planning to go forward with ratification, you know, as soon as we get this set.
Right. I guess the only uncertainty in an agreement like that would be that we would also have an understanding that either party could vote to not ratify the contract, and then that article goes back to the table, and all those dates and amounts are subject to ratification. In other words, we can't agree to retroactivity to a certain date for a certain amount and lock that in because that's not ratified yet. You understand what I'm saying, Jonathan? Is a possibility it could all go away and go back to the table, right?
Sure, you know, and I understand that. I think,
yeah, okay.
If we're, I certainly understand like sort of the legal philosophy of that and the just the practicalities of it. I think that that's a pretty far hypothetical. I think both of our teams are ready to move forward. I think we're trying to resolve and move forward to ratification. We certainly anticipate that this will be ratified and we'll have it. You know, we support ratification of this contract. The main thing we think is that that having some professional development funds is an appropriate compromise to resolve how important these multi-year contract systems are to these instructors and lecturers. And it's a way that addresses the concerns about the program that the university has articulated previously.
Okay. So I guess it's time for the parties to go into caucus. We'll consider what you have given us today, and we're going to ask you to consider what we gave you today. And then we'll be back with each other. It's about 2:17. What would you say?
Mike, can I ask one question just for clarification?
Yeah.
Yes. I want to make sure, because there were several, because you guys included that proposal in an MOU. It's the university's intent that there would still be that $1,000 payment, right? I can't remember the final proposal that you guys put forward with the Article 9.
Our version of Article 9 had the $1,000 payment this year to all people on that contract.
Okay, I couldn't remember if that was still maintained. Can is it possible when we caucus or as we caucus, can Jessica upload the university's the relevant Article 9 that proposed along with the system?
Yeah, we'll track that down and get it to you.
Okay, that sounds great. So just so we can reference it.
Okay, maybe it's time for caucus, so I'll see everybody there.
Should we, I don't think we agreed on the time. Do we say 15 minutes, 20 minutes? How long would folks?
Let's say 20 minutes.
I think that's good. 20 minutes.
Okay.
Thanks all.
Well, we're back. Tell me if I start freezing up or doing weird things. Take away doing weird things. If I start freezing up, then let me know and I'll take off my video. So we think we might have a compromised position. And it is... let me first start by saying that I'm going to start with the bad news. We're not able to do the professional development pay, the non-recurring expenditures of all those monies was required to be budgeted and then submitted to the Board of Governors for approval. That has already happened. So that's not available. What the provost was talking about has already been committed. That's something we can always bring up when we reopen Article 9. So what we're effectuating with all of this is trying to get to the board in September, trying to get a quick ratification, having all the wage articles pieces then go into place on a timely manner, except for the 2.9%, which will be retroactive. We can modify the MOUs. So we take our MOU on the 2.9% and the automatic reopener of Article 9, and we'll take paragraph 1 and 2 of your MOU on instructors and lecturers, and we can accept that and make it one MOU on everything. And then we can accept your Article 9.
Okay, so I see what you're saying. So what we would recommend then, because our interest is in trying to get moving forward with ratification, and I think that that's in the best interest of everyone. What we could do is we can accept that. However, and this may seem kind of counterintuitive, but our preference would be not to automatically reopen Article 9. I think that either of the teams could certainly reopen Article 9 again. We have the space to identify two articles each. I mean, the spirit of the reopener negotiations is that, it's supposed to be a little bit smaller in scale than the full book. I think that sometimes what happens when we start having multiple additional articles that are opened up, it spirals into another sort of major negotiation. So I know it seems counterintuitive. Our preference would be actually to not have that Article 9 automatic reopen. However, we'll take that back and consider it, as a possibility.
We could always, I can always jump into a quick caucus to see what our response is to that, if you would prefer us to do that.
Okay. Do you have this revised Article 9? The revised MOU that.
Yeah, we wrote it up at caucus.
Yeah, it's in the folder. The file name starts out the same as the other one, but it's Proposal 2 rather than just Proposal.
Okay. Jonathan, I can share it on the screen if you would like. I was able to access it there, but I can share it if you'd like.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great. If you want, just to make sure we have the right one, Matt, if you want to
share it. And that way people can, my side can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe, and I'm going to shrink this just a little bit so that we can see. Michael, I just want to make sure this is our proposal too.
Yeah, that's our proposal. It looks better in Microsoft Word.
Okay.
And
okay, so we would be, what we could agree to resolve the contract is we would be striking number 4 from here about it automatically reopening. And then it would also be striking the fourth whereas point up there.
Hmm. Okay. I got it. I understand your position. Why don't you let me just have 5 minutes in a caucus and we'll come right back.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. We're back. I think we're back. Should check. Yep. All right, Jonathan, we agree with you about Article 9 being automatically reopened, and we can modify the MOU to that extent. So we've gone ahead and we made those modifications. We have a document for you to look at, which we think resolves everything. And I don't know how Michael can go about sharing that with you, but we're going to try to do that now.
Okay, perfect.
It's in the share folder. I see some people are going to know, but I'll go ahead and share my screen. Okay, yeah, so we took out another whereas clause about amendment and duration because we're not touching amendment and duration anymore.
Okay, good. Yeah, I noticed that too. Okay. It's like a vision test. I'm having to zoom in here.
Sorry.
Fine, that's great.
And so the part of Article 9 that it's referenced in number 1 here is going to be struck from Article 9 too. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
Are we talking like paragraphs 1 and 2?
That's right, Jamin. The UFF proposal for Article 9 that was brought today strikes that entire section. So therefore, our items that are in 1 and 2 here, even in the amended language, become redundant and not necessary because we've struck that section.
Okay, thanks. Just checking.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that makes sense. That was our intention, is that we don't want to have to go back and restrike language of the program. It's easier to put it here in the MOU. Okay, I mean, I think this looks good. I think this is what, you know, we can move forward with to ratify the CBA and to get this full book wrapped up. I know this was we appreciate, you know, the university's sort of shared commitment to collegial bargaining, and this is a kind of challenging full book with everything that was going on, the different issues we had to navigate. I did want to ask, Mike, just to be clear, because you said that there's a hypothetical potential that the Board of Trustees could not ratify, as well as a hypothetical potential faculty could not ratify. I mean, we fully support the ratification of this contract, and we assume that you all do as well.
Oh, absolutely. And we have every confidence that this contract is going to be fully ratified by our board.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be ratified by everybody. I mean, we got a lot of really good things going on in there, you know, like that those compression and inversion adjustments alone are really remarkable, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot here with this contract.
We should be able to get ratification scheduled on our end for that second week in September. The Monday and Tuesday, I think, is the 11th and 12th. We try to do it over 2 days. So I think we should be able to get that ratified and noticed to the university in advance of the 14th, which is the Board of Trustees meeting.
That'd be great. Whatever we can do to help, let us know.
Okay, I'll get those the easiest thing is just a quick turnaround on the signatures so we have the complete packet to send to faculty with ratification. So I'll get those printed up now and signed and sent over, Mike. And so if you want to get those combined with the previous ones sent back quickly, we can get that ratification noticed. Do you remember what the specific notice time is? Do you think it's about 10 days sufficient for PERC, if you remember right?
Oh, for PERC, well, you know, in for PERC and in the statute, there's no set date.
Yeah.
It's a reasonable time period. And, you know, I've seen PERC say 7 days is a reasonable time period.
Okay, so we should get it with plenty, 11 or 12 days. And there we fully plan to do it in person, and we'll do that anyway. But just there, as PERC, are they still no longer granting variances for online, or is that a shift they're going to make?
Last I saw, they were not doing variances. So I don't know. You know, PERC is like, if they had their way, there would be like a horse and buggy pull up, and people would come out and scratch on a wood board.
I don't know. That sounds like a good plan. I kind of like that.
Yeah. They probably still have the horses and the buggies out the PERC in the back.
Be like the lottery story where you go pull stones out. Yeah.
PERC still sends faxes. It's like, we don't even check our fax machine every day. You know, someone's like, here's a fax from PERC, but it's been sitting on the machine for 10 days. Like, oh, no.
John Fink, just making sure, because I think I understood your literature reference. We are not bringing in Shirley Jackson as a signatory on any of this. Okay. Just want to make sure. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, okay, well, thank you, everybody. I appreciate all the hard work, and it's a lot going on.
Everybody, congratulations.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'll let you know as soon as we get this noticed, and we'll convey that. And I'm Mark, Mike, I'll get those over. I'll include Chris Weigel on that as well.
Okay, good, good. And I'll sign everything and send it back to you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds great. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody, thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
Take care.